Holly, it's good to see all of you this morning. It's good to see all of you. Welcome back from school. Welcome back, Mama Maya. It's good to see everybody, everybody, everybody. Just say thank you, Lord. Just say, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been, oh, come say it like you mean it. God has just been what? So good to us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Y'all just don't know. I got up with the sunshine this morning. When I got up with the sunshine, I got to walk this morning. It looked like rain, but when we got out there, it wasn't no rain. The sun was shining. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you would just turn to me to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, y'all, the book of Jonah. And we're not going to start at first chapter now. We're going to the last chapter of Jonah. So that's the fourth chapter of Jonah. We know the story, and we'll talk about the story. I just want you to get to the end of the book. Jonah, the fourth chapter, and then drop down to verse 9. I just want you to drop down to verse 9 and just say, today is my deliverance day. Oh, y'all didn't say like you want to be delivered. Somebody, y'all need to say that. Today is my deliverance day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jonah 4, verses 9 through 11. And it's on the screen. We're going to use the New Living Translation today. New Living Translation today. It says, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? And so we just got a question today. Question today. Why are you still mad? God will know. Why are you still mad? That's what he said to Jonah. Why are you still mad? Say, Jonah, should you be in this place? Why are you still mad? Why are you still mad? Now, I ain't here to step on nobody's toe. As a matter of fact, let me set the record straight. You see me, but I ain't speaking. This is God speaking. You see me, but he's speaking through me, because I wouldn't have spoke this because I would be saying ouch all day long. But God is speaking today. God said, just listen to me because I want to know why you still mad. So first question today is, how many of us are mad about something? Okay, let's just be honest. I wish I could tell you my journey yesterday. I wish I could tell you how often I got mad yesterday because people were doing stuff that they should not be doing and just leaving stuff and messing with me. I wish I could tell you how bad it was and how bad I wanted to be mad. But God wouldn't allow me to be mad because I'm reading and I'm listening to this word. And he said, oh, okay, I can't be like Jonah. Okay, God, I get it. But God said, what did I tell you, boy? He said, why are you still mad? Why are you still mad? Why are you still mad? Well, let's look at Jonah. So you know why you mad, right? Anybody who's mad, is there a doubt of why you mad?
No.
Thank you, Sister Jackie. I just want to be clear. If you mad about something or at somebody, you know why you mad, right? Okay, I just want to, so that's good. You need to have a place to start. If you know why you're mad, I can assume, correct me if I'm wrong, you feel justified.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Sister Jackie. Y'all feel free to talk to me. Y'all talking to God. He already knows, right? So ain't no need to try and hide from God because he already knows. Okay, I don't know because I ain't it, but God still has. I already know. Let me talk in that. I already know why you're mad. I already know what upset you. I already know the situation you got. But my still question is, why are you still mad? God says, did you rise up this morning? Can you take my breath that I give you? Can you use the senses that I placed in your body? Did you eat some of the food that I provided for you that you didn't provide for yourself? Did you drink from the cup that I gave you? Did you drive or walk or be brought here by something that I created, that I made, that made available to you? Have you been able to sing a praise to me this morning? You did say you trust me. You have said you love me. You also said you would follow me. You even declared to a world that I'm your father. I'm your savior. I'm your Lord. Yet, you still mad. Don't run. Don't get up and leave this place. Because wherever thou goest, I will be. If you go to the utmost parts of the heavens, I'll still be there. If you run to the deepest part of the valley, I'll be there. If you go home and close your door, I'll still be there. If you get in your car and just start driving, I'm still right there. So don't run. But first point he wants to say today, where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? Where you gonna run to? I'm just gonna tell you this story. Said there's this man called Jonah. And Jonah was angry. And Jonah hated the Ninevites. He hated them with a passion that even though he loved me, even though he worshiped me, even though I had set him aside to do a great work for me, he hated the Ninevites more than he loved me. So Jonah, instead of being obedient to me, decided to run. That sound familiar to y'all? Anybody in here running? Let me tell you where you are. God says some of you are running from a relationship that I want you to have for somebody to show you the love that you need because it comes from me, but you refuse to run towards it or accept it because you don't want to experience what you experienced before. Some of you, you running because I've told you to declare what's going on with you so that the saints of God can lift it up and watch me do what I want to do for you. But because of your pride, you refuse to speak when I tell you to speak. So you're running away from what I'm trying to call you to, which is deliverance. Some of you are running because I've asked you to do some things you don't want to do because you're happy with where you are and content, but your content space is coming to an end if you don't surrender to what I tell you to do because I'm the one who controls it all. God says, somebody else up in here, I know that you're running because you're still trying to be all that instead of be what I told you to be. Somebody is running because you're afraid of the unknown. You need to know every detail before, but I don't operate that way. I am the Lord thy God, and whatever I declare, I will do and tell you what you need to know when I did. But I need to know that first you trust me. So if you trust me today, listen to Jonah's story and commit yourself not to do what Jonah did. What did Jonah do? Jonah 1, 3, and 4. He said, where are you going to run to? But Jonah got up and went into the opposite direction to get away, what? From the Lord. Jonah said, I ain't going. Lord told him to go to Tarshish, and Jonah said, I ain't going there because the Lord want me to. I hate the Ninevites. I'm going in the opposite direction. That's deliverance right there. Some of y'all did a 180 and going in the wrong direction that God didn't want you to go. And when you go in the opposite direction from God, there's trouble ahead. You don't have to listen to me. Look at what happened to Jonah. Jonah went in the opposite direction. He went down to the part of Joppa where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He brought what? A ticket and went on board, hoping to escape what? The Lord what? Hoping to what? Escape what? From the Lord by what? Selling. to another place. But look at what God did. Say, but God hurled what? A powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. That's what happened to Jonah, y'all. That's what happened to Jonah. Now, let me tell you what the rest of what happened to Jonah. Jonah got on this ship. But when you're around people that know what God can do and who God is, when you're not doing what God told you to do, they recognize that you're the source of their problem. So when Jonah was on this ship and the storm came, these people got upset because they were about to die. Their life depended on God, and God was angry with what was on the ship. He was angry with Jonah, so the rest of them were about to die because Jonah was disobedient. Somebody here today, somebody's going to die if you don't become obedient to God, because God is depending on you to share the good news with them. So when you go home, you sit down, you refuse to have the relationship with somebody. God said, you refuse to surrender your anger. They see the anger, and all of a sudden the storm gets big. So on this boat, the storm got big. So all of a sudden, Jonah was not a bad person. Jonah loved the Lord. Jonah said, I'm the reason. First, he confessed his issue. I'm the reason for the storm. I'm running from God. Well, that's okay, Jonah. We like you. You paid us. We're going to work a little harder. So they tried to do it in they might, but the storm got worse. And they were still about to die. See, your friends, some of your relatives, some of your co-workers were hanging there with you. That old friend, hang in there with me, baby. There was another play one day that says, your arm's too short to box with God. Look in the Bible and read your word. Nobody has ever survived fighting with me. I am the Lord thy God. You cannot fight against me. I told Paul, can you kick against the prick? I told Moses, stop complaining. I told Pharaoh, let my people go through Moses. And when he refused, I forced him based on what? The trouble in his life. I brought him to a place of pain. He could no longer refuse to do my will and let my people go. So right now, Jonah's on this boat. Jonah is the cause. The folks say, I got paid. I'm still trying to do what. But it got too bad. So finally, Jonah said, throw me overboard. Anger will lead you to a spiritual place of darkness that will cause you to make some crazy decisions. What person in their right mind wants to be thrown overboard to die? How many of you so mad you wish you would die? Every now and then that pain gets so deep. Oh, I just wish I didn't hurt so much. God says, why, where you going to run? Where you going to go? What are you going to do? And you got to understand that there's some things. And for I'll just take the next slide, and I didn't change the title, but that's all right. Next slide, we got to understand when God gives us instructions, we got to follow. Matthew 20 and 19 says what? Therefore what? Go and make disciples of all nations. He told Jonah to go and do this so the people of Nineveh could be saved, and Jonah refused. He's telling us the same thing. Go with what? Make disciples of all nations. What? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and what? The Holy Spirit. Romans 15 says what? I am what? A special messenger from Christ Jesus. What? To you Gentiles. I bring you what? The good news so that I might present you what? On an acceptable what? Offering to God. Made holy what? By the Holy Spirit. God is saying to us today as a body of people, of his believers, we need to go into this wicked, lost world and tell somebody about the good news of Jesus Christ. So what? They can be saved. Because the people we see, the people we walk with, they are a great nation for God. They are not the losers, the things that people try to say. They're a great nation. Everybody we walk by is part of the great nation once they accept Jesus Christ. Nobody has a greater nation. No religion has a greater religion. Nobody has a greater God. Nobody has no power. I am the Lord thy God, and I ain't gonna change. I came to seek and to save all. that was lost. I don't care how much you hurt. I don't care what you have done. You are still a great nation in my name. So you, my people, we need to stop being like Jonah. For if we continue to stay like Jonah, he's going to throw us overboard. Truth. Some of you are already in an overboard situation. Some of you have refused to do what I told you. You've given every excuse. Well, I'll do this part of it, but I won't do this part of it. Yet I've given you all things. So what happens is, because we are being thrown overboard, because of the anger in our life of refusing to do what God says, we find ourselves in a precarious situation. Jonah hit the water. Splash. Jonah hit rock bottom. He overdosed. Jonah hit rock bottom. He's an alcoholic. Jonah hit rock bottom. He's full of pride. Jonah hit rock bottom. He was dealing with self-denial. Jonah hit rock bottom. He was dealing with doubt. Jonah hit rock bottom. He was smooth talking, sweet talking, smooth moving, quick. He's a wonderful dancer. Jonah said, I can ease my way in and around everything, because he refused to look in the mirror and see who he was. Jonah is still an old man trying to what? Figure out who he is. Jonah is a young woman trying to say, hey, what is life to me? Because I ain't worth nothing. Jonah is like each one of us. There is a piece of Jonah in all of us until we surrender to the Lord. I don't know your overboard situation, but God does. But it's good news. There's good news. God said, the next thing I need you to know is that the agony of your defeat leads to what? The thrill of your victory. You're in agony and you're defeated in your pain, but there's a thrill of victory today. You don't have to believe me. Look at what I did with Jonah. Said, Jonah, first verse, 17, second verse, verse 1. Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. Now, don't go out there and tell people it was a whale. Okay, yeah, a whale is a great fish, but there are other great fish out there. That's okay. But the Lord, what? Arranged. He had arranged, prearranged now, not last. It was prearranged. There's a destiny when we meet folks. It's just like what happened to Sister Roger and I on Sunday. God orchestrated a time for us to be at a place at just the right time. He had arranged for this big fish, this great fish, what? To swallow Jonah when he hit the water. Some of y'all are scared already. I died in the belly of a fish. That's not what happened with Jonah. He had arranged, because of the agony of his defeat, throw me overboard. He had arranged for this great fish to swallow Jonah. And then God did some things. He said, Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord God from the inside of the fish. See, your agony of defeat will lead you to the thrill of victory, to call on him who can what? Give you the victory. When you're going through some things and you down and out, I don't care who you are, at some moment in your life, you're going to pray. At some moment in your life, you're going to say, Lord God Jehovah, Lord God Jesus, at some moment in your life, I don't know what name to call you, but I know you're there. Somebody told me, please hear my cry. At some moment in life, you're going to pray. The agony of your pain, of your hurt, will cause you to cry out to God. I'm in Bible. Pharaoh did what? Let him go. That God's bigger than my God. My firstborn is gone. But guess what? You declared it, Pharaoh. I spoke my son's death trying to argue with God. You don't have to stop there. I want you to understand. I want you to understand and to see. What did Jonah say? What did Jonah say? Next slide, Jonah, second chapter. We look at what Jonah said. He said, I cried out to who? The Lord. In what? My great trouble. He didn't think he was in trouble on the boat. Y'all can throw me overboard. I'm okay. But when he was inside this great fish, Jonah knew I'm in trouble. So guess what? I had to go back to who I believed in before I got in this place. Jonah knew God. I ain't talking about an unbeliever. Jonah knew God. He knew me. Jonah cried out to the Lord in great distress. And he what? He answered me. Ooh. We just defeated. Somebody just got delivered. Who in here said, God don't hear me? God ain't concerned about my situation. I'm too far gone for God to listen to me. That's a message we take to somebody. You ain't never too far. One of my minister friends says it this way. No far is too far for God. I don't care what you've done. I don't know where you've been. I don't care how it's been. I know a man who killed somebody once in his life and God turned him around, cleaned him up, and he preached to people all over. Because he said, I realized when I reached that point, I had hit rock bottom. So I cried out to God, and look at what God did. He said, I cried out to God and he heard me. I called to you from what? The land of the dead. Jonah was down. He knew there was nothing left for me. You heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths. And I sank down to what? The heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath what? Your wild and stormy water. He's describing the rage of what was happening on the boat. And he's describing what he experienced when he went into the water before the fish got him. People used to tell me the worst death to die is drowning. I don't know. I ain't never drowned. I don't want to know. To me, the worst death is being in a place of despair and watching life go. Everybody living and you, ooh. People get up and they're happy and you, ooh. I can be having fun, but ooh. I don't experience God's presence, but ooh. And so all the despair around us. Do you not see that today our situation, that's what people are living in? They don't think there's no hope. They just think, I got to get mine while I can, because guess what? I ain't got too long to give it. Folks are afraid to live long lives, and we're living longer. You know why? We're turning to God. You know, in the old days before what? We got so sophisticated, they lived forever. Guess what? Now they say the average man going to live 85 years. You know, just do a few of the right things, you're going to live forever. There are going to be some hundreds and some 110s and some 120s and 130s. They on the way. Because God is going to remind people, this is who I am. He said, look at this. Then I said, oh Lord, you have driven me from your presence. You done drove me away, God, because I didn't want to do it. He didn't say, I messed up. He said, you drove me away. You're right. The word will draw you or drive you. You cannot continue to be disobedient intentionally and not be driven away from God because you can't stay in his presence. That's why we repent. That's why we rejoice. That's why we say what? God, I ain't going to fight against you. You ain't worried about you can never come back. God stands there with open arms. But we have to make the choice to stay where he wants us. He said, you've driven me. Then he says, yet I will look once more towards your holy temple. The thrill of the victory. Yet God in this situation, yet what I'm going through, yet no matter how dark it looks, I'm in the belly of a fish. I'm down here with no light, but I'm still alive. Lord, I'm looking to what? Your holy temple. There's hope. Hope is always alive. Don't believe the lie of the enemy. You always going to, no, you ain't always going to be nothing, but what God wants you is you let God do what he wants to do in your life. He said, yet I will look once more. I sink beneath the waves and the waters close what? All over me. says, seaweed wrapped me, so it's itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was what? Imprisoned in the earth, whose gate locked what? Shut me, shut over forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me forth from the jaws of death. Next slide said, my life was slipping away. I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer, my sincere prayer, the desire of my heart came out, went out to you, what? In your holy temple. So what? Those who worship false gods turn their backs on our God and mercy. But I will offer sacrifices to you with the songs of praise. Look at how the agony of his defeat and the situation. Jonah said, I'm going to offer right now, God, sacrifices of praise, no matter what this looks like. Whew. Sunday morning, we get up. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, we get up. But when we wake up, it's got to be offering sacrifices of praise, because yet again, God, you woke me up. I love to tell you, if you had information of how many people died every single day, it would scare you. God said, you don't need to look at the negative, look at the positive. Today I woke you up. Amen. Jonah, he went and said, Lord, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. And then look what he said, and I will fulfill all my vows. Jonah repented and said, what? I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm in the belly of this fish. I don't know how I got here, but I know it had to come from you. But you told me to go and speak to the Ninevites. Lord, I commit my vow. I'm your prophet. I'll go do what you told me if you get me up out of here. Ooh, think about your hurt. God says, if you just stop fighting, I can take your hurt away. But you just need to do what I told you to do. Who to speak to? Who to embrace? Not to be all by yourself. Not to be trying to do it your way. Not to say, Lord, I want your cup, but I'll take this piece of your cup, but I won't take this piece of your cup. Oh, I ain't going to make that plain right now. But you know, God says what? If we love him, what? We will seek his word. As I shared with you in the testimony. The man, when he was lying on his deathbed, the man saw God. And when he saw God, God gave him the breath of life. He gave him bread of the body, and he fed him the blood of the cup. And so he made it live to him. No matter how much his body was wrecked in pain, he found peace when he got communion from the Lord. I never heard anybody say that the Lord came and gave me communion straight from a vision. He said, I saw it. His wife said, I saw him. And when he ate it a long time. We be in so quick a hurry. Get the wafer, we drink, and we on our way. We don't meditate on the word of God and what it means. But no matter where he went and worshiped, no matter what happened in his time, he saw the Lord. And I've been trying to imagine this all week. What would it be like if I saw the Lord give me communion? Thank you, Lord God. And my spirit, he said to me, but you do, son. Every time you're obedient to me, that's how I feed you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He took the doubt out of my mind. Jonah said, I'll do it. I'll do it. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates were shut before. But you, O Lord, my God, snatch me what? From the jaws of death. Has God ever snatched you from the jaws of death? You know, should have been dead and gone. But the Lord let me keep on moving on. He said, look at this, look at this, look at what Jonah did. And said, thank there then. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out on the beach. So the agony of his death led him to do what? To do what's in him, to pray and to repent. And then God immediately awarded him the thrill of victory to end up on dry land. Do you remember your great fish experience? where you just thought there was no hope, there was nothing could be done for you? I remember mine. Do you remember your experience where you thought you weren't good enough? God didn't love you enough? And the enemy was just potting and said, see, everything you touch goes bad. Everything you do don't work. Why do you keep on doing what you're doing when you know that God don't love you? But then somebody told you the truth, that Jesus loves you. Might have started when you were a little kid. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Might have been in your deepest despair that somebody took you by the hand that you didn't know. Say, look, you are God's precious child. And because you're God's child, he will take you away from this. So you've had that experience. That's why you're here today and you've declared you love God. Somebody is waiting on the message. Somebody is waiting on that experience. Can I fast forward? Jonah went to Nineveh. And when he got to Nineveh and he proclaimed the word, the whole country, the rich, wealthy people, they turned around, declared a fast, and gave their life to Christ. So this great place that was wicked, this great place heard the word of God from somebody who didn't want to preach it to them, but they did. And guess what? They were saved. There are Ninevites everywhere. Ninevites representing the spiritually lost. There are folks everywhere wondering, how will I make it? How will I get through this place in my life? How can I have peace? How can I have joy? How can I have hope? Nothing I read in the paper or see on the news makes a difference, but somebody, when you share the good news that Jesus loves you, they will be like the Ninevites. They will have sackcloth and ashes. They will repent. They will turn away. And they will begin to what? Live in the joy of Jesus. But it starts with what? Us getting rid of our Jonah mentality and saying, yes, Lord. The agony of defeat leads to the thrill of victory. And God says, now, I got a question for you. I just have a question for you. How long? Not long. How long? Not long. Next slide, Sister Beverly. And then Jonah says, Jonah, which brings us to our scripture today. He said, then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Plant died. He just did what God said. Yeah, he did. But after he did what God said and the Ninevites were saved, Jonah got home and got a bad attitude. Jonah was pissed off and angry. Woe is me. I knew he was going to do that. Why did he have me go tell them people about the good news of the God when he knew he was going to save them and I didn't want them saved? Why would God do that? Why am I in the position I'm in today? Why am I going through all this pain? He never should have let me meet this person or meet that person or have this happen to me. If he never allowed it to happen, I never would have been this and I wouldn't be hurt like I'm hurt today. I don't like this job. I don't like that person. I don't like my neighbors. I don't like myself. That's okay, God. You keep saying you're so wonderful, but you just let me be in this place. And that's how we go to God. God say, yeah, well, I ain't got enough money, God, to give you what's yours. So I'm going to keep it to myself. And God said, but I give you everything. Lord, I ain't going to like them folks. They don't like me. Don't y'all think for a moment that thought tried to pass through our mind? Why is this little old lady coming up to us? She don't like us. She can't like me. She don't know me. That's the truth of the matter. But I'm still supposed to what? Love everybody that come my way. And look at God. So Jonah went into his woe is me moment and went back. And then Jonah began to slip down the curve again. He got so angry with God that Jonah wanted to leave his place of comfort. And Jonah went out He went out into the hot desert where there was no covering. No covering. He went to sit in the middle of the hot desert. Any of y'all ever been in the desert? Has anybody ever had a desert experience? When I was 16 years old, we went to California. And you drove through the Needles Desert at midnight. They would not allow you to drive through the desert during the day. So we drove through the desert at midnight, and it was 115 degrees. Now, at 115 degrees, your car can overheat. This is not modern cars. This is back in the 60s. And as we drove through the desert, they tried to sell you, this is a scam, this bag of water to put in front of your radiator to what? Keep it cool. How many people spent money on a bag of water to put in front of a radiator? If you know anything about cars, the minute you block the radiator, it caused your car to overheat. So it was a scam to get you in the middle of the desert, broken down, so they can come get you with their tow truck. My daddy said, I ain't putting nothing in front of my radiator. If you want to sell me some water for my car, I'll take it. But I know better than to block the airflow of the radiator. And the man looked at him, and there was this Chinese man in his face. He said, sir, I work on cars. If you block the radiator, the car overheats. No water's going to cool that off. The water's on the inside. And this Chinese man said, thank you much, sir. I don't want your bag. But Jonah went to the middle of the desert in the hot heat. And so God had to get his attention. So God allowed this plant, this gourd, to raise up. Normally they take some time. You know anything about planting, it takes some time. This raised up and covered Jonah. So Jonah got relief. But God had a message for Jonah. Oh, you got a moment, but watch me tear it down. So he sent a worm to start eating as it was built. And then all of a sudden, boom, it was gone. But Jonah was okay. Because Jonah was mad. He was angry. So God said, I'm going to have a conversation with you, Jonah. How long you gonna stay mad? Hopefully not long, Jonah. How long? Not long. He's asking us today, how long we gonna stay mad? How long we gonna stay angry? How long we gonna allow this hurt to have control over us? How long are we gonna be separated from the fullness of God's joy? And that's what he said. Jonah, 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 Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? He didn't say about the Ninevites being saved. He didn't even get there yet. He said because the plant died. Are you upset because now the shade that I gave you is gone? Jonah, yes. He had attitude. Wasn't a, yeah. Jonah said, yes. Not only that, even angry enough to die. Yeah, I got my dandruff up, God. I'm ready to leave here. That's how mad I am. But that's the joy. There's victory right there. There's victory right here, y'all. There's victory right here. You can be so angry. It don't matter to God. God loves you so much. He'll allow you to be in the worst place because he's still going to draw you back to the right place. He could have said, Jonah, you got your wish. Boom. But he didn't. And that's what God is doing with us. Some of us have been mad or angry a long time, y'all. Long, long, long time. It's time to let it go. Time to let it go. He said, yes. He said, okay, Jonah, okay, Jonah. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about this plant. It brought you a temporary release, but you didn't put it there. You didn't think enough, Jonah, to bring a tent or bring anything with you to cover yourself up that this would do. You didn't do that, Jonah. I did that. Sound familiar to another person we knew. He asked, what, Job, did you put the stars in the sky? Job said, uh-oh, I get it, God. He said, so you feel sorry about it, Jonah. He said, it came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh, they had 120,000 people. And that don't even include the animals that belong to me. Should I not feel sorry for such a great city? Should we not, God, feel sorry for Chicago, for Hoffman Estates, for Schaumburg, for Elgin, for Palatine, for Rolling Meadows, for wherever we live? Should not God, all of us, feel sorry for our coworkers and our schools and our friends and our friends? Should not God feel sorry for the homeless and the downtrodden and those who don't know? Should not God feel sorry because what? He created them? That he wants them what? To come into the fold? Should not God feel the same way he feels about us, about them? Because guess what? At one point in your life, in my life, we were just like them. Walking around with no hope, walking around with no future. Somebody took the time to save us. Now, yeah, we go, well, my mom and daddy did their job. Well, guess what? They might not have a mom and daddy. Because it wasn't just my mom and daddy that changed my life. God sent people in and out of my life and still does today to remind me of who he is. Last Sunday, he reminded me of who he is. If I'm just available, look at who I am. And that's what God wants us to do. So God says, how long? Not long. How long? Not long. Let me tell you what that looks like. God says, how long? Not long will you stay in this place? How long will you continue to be angry? How long will you not understand what God? And let me give you what this really happens with anger. Anger is a paradox in our lives. It's a paradox. It's not the same. It's not just straight truth. We allow our anger over something that God can direct or deliver us from to control us. What? The way we live is not according to the blessings and the power what that God has given us through Jesus Christ. Yes, that's what we do. I'm so angry. Lord, I ain't going to accept your peace. I'm so angry. I ain't going to accept your joy. I'm so angry. I ain't going to accept the power. I'm so angry. I'm not going to allow you to do great things for me. I'm so angry, Lord God. I won't raise the dead. I'm so angry. I won't heal the sick. I'm so angry, Lord. I won't walk in victory. Why? Because when you're angry, you can't get to the Savior. It hinders you from walking in all the things that God wants you to do. God is still doing what God does. Don't you think it for a minute? Not. He's still raising the dead. He's still healing the sick. He's still performing miracles. That's what God is still doing. But what? How wrong is that? God is saying to us, are we okay to be angry? How long, not long, will our lives can't live forever? How the lives will live forever? How long, not long, you will still reap what you sow? Yes, you go. If you sow anger, you're going to get some anger back. Which is just doing what? Trying to separate you. God gave the best advice for married couples or people in relationship. Proverbs 15 and 1. Because y'all know we can throw some words at each other. We can be angry with each other. But it says what? 15 and 1. Grievous words stir up anger, but a soft word turns away wrath. Let me make that plain, y'all. If you curse somebody, somebody angry. If you don't curse them and speak to them like a human being, you can get along. If I go to yell at Sister Rogers, she's going to yell back. She yell at me, I'm going to yell back. But when we say, baby, you know, I'm not happy, you know, this happened, you know, We need to just deal with it. Let's pray about it. We get through. Then we all right. So that's some of the words in God. God gives us the words to understand. How long? How long should you remain angry when God has blessed you beyond measure? Did you get here this morning? That's a blessing. Did you eat? That's a blessing. If you haven't ate, are you going to eat? Yeah, that's a blessing. Nobody up in here look like they're anorexic and ain't got no food to eat. I'm just telling you the truth. I don't see nobody up in here that's thin. I can see your bones and you barely got the strength. Because if you didn't have anything to eat like that, you wouldn't be here. You'd be at home saying, will somebody feed me? Now, go to some of the countries that what? They don't have no food. And if you look at how they eat the food that they eat that you wouldn't eat if you had to eat it, you would realize they are thankful to God that somebody packed the package. They're thankful to God that it's just some rice and some soy. It's okay because guess what? Without that, I had nothing. I was eating dirt trying to stay alive. So be faithful. And God has kept back what? The degree of your anger from hitting you in the face. So how long? Not long. How long should you walk in defeat and not walk in victory? It is time out for the body of Christ to walk like we defeated. It is time out for the body of Christ to, oh, well, that's just the way it's going to be. This is America. Yes, but it's God's America. He created the universe and he does everything and anything he wants to. And he has made a way for us to stand up and tell the enemy in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, when that demon come in the name of Jesus and he got to flee. You can even grab him by the throat and shake him up if you want to. But in the name of Jesus, he has provided all the things for us. How long? Hopefully not long. Shall you deny the love that wants what blessing to live you? How long? Hopefully not long. Shall you hinder the joy from flowing in your life? So when people walk upon you, people think about, they just feel something. Y'all don't know me that long. It's amazing to me when people used to want to be away from me because they were afraid of what my temper would do, that they want to come be around me. Why? Because of the love of Jesus. A total 180. When Jonah turned around to go away, I turned to go towards. And God left all that other behind me. You just don't know. But I know. And you know your story. How long shall you resist having that measure of peace in your life? Well, some of y'all got gray hairs you ought not have. I got some. I shouldn't have them. Why? Because I should be in his peace. And I could have kept my black dark hair. Well, brown hair, they say. But don't matter. I would have kept that. I wouldn't have had to lose no Grecian formula anyway. And yeah, it's nappy today. I forgot my comb. But that's all right. How long? Let me tell you about a story about two men. There were these two men. And they were loved by God, and they loved God. They loved God with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might. And as life would have it, God gave them jobs and responsibility to tell the world about his love. And each of them went about doing this work. And one of them was just blessed among measure. He had everything. He had it going on. I mean, he was the ultimate CEO, CFO, COO, all wrapped up in one. Everything about this man was just wonderful. More cattle, more sheep, family all good. He had it all. But then one day somebody said, you know, he ain't all that. He ain't what he's meant to be. And if you just allow me to attack him, then things would be all right. And God said, that's all right. He'll never stop loving me. And while that went on and God permitted things to happen, this other man was just preaching a word. And he just kept telling people. And he would Sunday after Sunday and day after day and year after year tell these people that, you know, you need to love God. And all of a sudden there came a time where he got a little despondent. Because the people wouldn't respond. The people kept doing what they wanted to do. But there was something about these two men and their lives parallel, but they were different than Jonah. Jonah was angry, but these men didn't get angry. They just stayed on the wall and they kept going and they went through this. This one man who had everything lost everything. And he thought, well, surely my wife's going to be okay. And his wife turned away from him. And there he was. Has some best friends, and his best friends say, dude, you done did it. Whatever it is you need to do, you need to confess to the man. So, but I ain't did nothing. And there he was. And they went through these experiences. But what happened to both of them is they came to this place that they realized no matter what they were thinking, they had gotten outside the will of God. And so one of them, if you go to Jeremiah 20 and 7, you'll find what this one man did. This was the prophet Jeremiah. And when Jeremiah came to that place, if you go to Jeremiah 20, you'll see what he did. In Jeremiah 20 and 7, the prophet Jeremiah, when he had just left God and gone on his own way, he prayed. He said, O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocking me. God had told Jeremiah to preach and the things he was preaching. Now he had preached doom over somebody that they were going to be captured of Babylon. But now everybody around laughed at him. They talked about him. They ridiculed him. And he was saying, wait a minute, God, I did what you told me. Now I'm deceived. I'm derided. They talking about me. his place of anger. So for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoiled, because the word of the Lord was made what? A reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But then down in verse 11, it says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore, my persecutors shall what? Stumble, and they shall not prevail. But the Lord of hosts, that what? Trieth the righteous and seeth the what? Ruins in the heart. Let me see that vengeance on them. He went to a place of what? He didn't agree. And then all of a sudden he realized that God is with him. He prayed and he repented. What? Because God is with him. Today, God is with us. And then if you go to Job 42 and 7. And we look at what Job said. After all of the things he had were gone, after everybody had what abandoned him. And it was so. After that, the Lord had spoken these words unto Job. The Lord said to Elizabeth the Tenemite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken to me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. And it went on, and then what? Job had to do something. Job got his deliverance after what? He prayed for his friends. Do you all know what we got to do? We got to pray for one another, but we got to pray for the stranger. Pray for the one who's hurting us. Pray for the one who's hindering us. Pray for the lost. Why? Because when we pray in obedience to God, then he blesses us. Pray for the police officer who stops you. Pray for the neighbor who won't speak to you. Pray for the coworker who's always causing you grief. Pray for the one who don't like your skin color. Pray for the one who don't like your hairdo. Pray for the one that used to be your friend and now all they can do is criticize you. Pray for your spouse that ain't doing all that they're supposed to do. Pray for them when they talk about you. Pray for your children as they go through. Pray for mom and daddy as they trying to raise you. You know they're doing something wrong, but that's okay, because guess what? I'm going to pray to God to show that them is right. Pray for our fellow congregants, right? When we come and we don't do what God wants us to do, and we got a negative attitude, pray, pray, pray. But when we pray, watch what God does. Job is a witness. Jeremiah is a witness. Jonah is a witness that when he prayed and did what God said, it worked. Now, because he went back to that other place, let that go. That's a warning. Don't go to that woe is me place. But here's what I love. Because when we think about the body of Christ, remember last week, maybe the week before, we understood how Paul was. We had a conversation with God, and he argued with God. Paul said, wait a minute, God said, Paul, get up and leave. They're going to kill you. Paul immediately started arguing with God. Wait a minute, God. I know these people. Wait a minute, God. They know me. Wait a minute, God. I was there when, guess what? They were stoning Stephen to death. Wait a minute, God. I got a connection. Wait a minute, God. I can make this happen. God said, stop arguing with me, boy. Get up and go, because they're going to kill you. Not because of who you are, but because now whose you are. Before you weren't part of me. Now you part of me. They don't like me. You need to go. We still trying to hold on to what the world says. I can figure this out. When all we need to have is Jesus. Will you do what Jesus said today? Why are you still angry? Why are you still mad? Why are you still upset? Can I borrow last week a little bit? We heard a testimony. It's been some years. I'm sick and tired of this and being in this place. So now I need to get going, because they ain't doing what they said. And then all of a sudden, God, when he didn't realize, God said, yeah, they are. All you had to do is just wait on me. And look at what. But if I'd been angry and stayed in that place, I would have been up and out. Instead of having seniority and peace and now having favor. God wants you to have favor today. Are you willing to take his favor?
Amen.
Everybody in here, I see they love the Lord, right? Anybody not have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Will you accept his favor today?
Amen.
Will you just refuse to be angry at God? Refuse to allow anger to dictate who you are? Refuse to allow anger to keep you here instead of allowing God to take you here? Anger makes us soar with the robins. But when we let it go, we soar with the eagles. A robin can't get up where the eagle goes. Can't make it. Robin's a wonderful bird, but he can't go where the eagle goes. Isaiah says what? They that what? Wait upon the Lord, renew their strength. They should do what? Mount up on wings of an eagle. And you know, most birds got to do this. The eagle just. So today, let go of your anger. Today, commit yourself to allow God to have control. Now, here's the best news of all. If we do that, man, watch how lives will be changed. You ain't even got to go seek them all the time. They'll find you. They'll find you. And they'll go, what is it? But I don't know what to say, Pastor. Yeah, you do. It's Jesus. That's where it starts. It's Jesus. But then what do I say after that? It's Jesus. What do I say after that? It's Jesus. When they say, but how do I know? It's Jesus. Okay, what do I do? Come on, go with me. Come go with me. We go to study. We go to Bible study. We go to Sunday school. We go to worship. I got somebody who explained it. And then all of a sudden, you're going to find what? They say, it's Jesus. And you're going to say, what? Well, it's Jesus. Okay. Oh, well, let me take you over here. This is what this says. God so loved the world that he, what, gave his only begotten son. So you can remember John 3:16. You can remember Matthew, right? He said, I came to seek and to save what? All that was lost. That's what Jesus himself said. And before long, when you attend the Romans Bible study, guess what? You can take them down the Romans road. Five verses, six verses, take you down the road, say, right to salvation. But it starts with, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. And when they feel the peace, they'll want to come. And then we can do what? We can roll. Amen? Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.